Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who takes care of us when we get old? Who takes care of me? Who takes care of you? Who takes care of grandma and grandpa? Who takes care of the people that we love? How do we make wise decisions? How do we pick appropriate care? How do we choose someone to walk us through this maze of stuff? All of the things that happen to us as we get older, as we begin to age a little bit, as the wheels begin to fall off, as we just need help. And it's going to happen to all of us. It's going to happen to me. It's going to happen to your parents. It's going to happen to your grandparents. There are two things that are incurable in life. One is aging and the other one is death. We cannot make those go away. We cannot make them change. Last time I checked, they're pretty much going to happen to all of us. So that's what this show has been dedicated to for 18 years, right here on KFBK. And that's what my life has been dedicated to for the last 25 to 30 years. I talked last week a little bit about there's an entire industry of people who don't want you to know what the truth is. They don't want you to know what's going on. I cannot tell you how much they don't want to know that. They don't want you to know that. It's stunning. I had somebody call me the other day and say, Bob, there's nothing I can do. I went to an advisor in Tracy, and they told me there's a five-year look back. And I'm going, there's no such thing as a five-year look back. There's lots you can do. I had somebody else come in last week whose a parent is in a nursing home, and the nursing home said, well, there's nothing you can do. You have to spend your mom's assets down to $2,000. There's nothing you can do. And oh, by the way, she has to leave here because her rehab days are up. None of that was true. How do you pick the right facility? How are you going to pay for it? How do you make wise decisions? That's why for, I can't tell you how many years, a lot of years, this has been California's single best resource for the issues and the problems and the stuff that consults us, confronts us as we get older. So welcome to Assets and Aging. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, here for 18 years on KFBK and longer than that, just doing this. Probably as long, if not longer, than anybody in California. Remember a couple things I have to get out of the way. I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the hell they're talking about, because I'm here to tell you there's a lot of them that don't. There's also a lot that do, and I know all those people. I have a California insurance license. Doesn't have to do with anything, folks. I just have to tell you that. I am not securities licensed. I don't want to be. I want to be able to tell you the truth. I have a California legal document assistant license, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request, recorded in Sacramento County. I'm a notary. What else am I? Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of tax, legal, or other advice. Whew. What else? And I cannot program your computer. There's probably something. I can change light bulbs, though. I can handle that one. We're in such a litigious society now that you have to not only say all the things you are, but most importantly, all the things you aren't. Lots of ways to contact me. The simplest way is by going to your phone and calling my 800 number. 800-999-8007. Let me give it to you again. 800-999-8007. You can also go to my website. And on my website, there's a ton of stuff. You can go to my website on your computer, on your iPad, on your pad, on your smartphone, on your whatever it is, your Surface, your HP, whatever you have. And you can do that by going to assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G.com. And when you go there, there's several things you can do. If you scroll down on my opening page, there's a place there for you to ask me questions. There's a place there that will tell you when my upcoming workshops are and how you can sign up. They're free. You can sign up for an appointment. You can get other information. You can sign up for my free email newsletter. No, I'm sorry, I don't mail it. I only email it. But you can sign up for my free email newsletter where we try to keep you informed as to what's happening. You can also there listen to all of my archived radio shows and podcasts. So that's a handy thing to have. So you can go back and listen to my radio shows and all of that kind of stuff and see what they're about. You can also listen to my Wednesday podcasts. Every Wednesday on my webpage, I do a live podcast. It's about 15 minutes long, and it's always on one specific subject. So you can go there, and you can listen to information in a short context via my podcast, and they're archived. And again, you can listen to my archived radio shows. You can ask me questions. You can get information. Pardon me, you can sign up for one of my workshops. My workshops, if you've never been to one of my workshops, are like nothing else you've ever been to before. You're going to go to all kinds of workshops for $199 trust, for $299 trust. You're going to go to free dinners where they're going to sell you securities or annuities or life insurance or whatever. You have never been to a workshop like my workshop, ever. I'm not going to tell you what it's like, but it's not like anything you've ever been to. Everybody that comes will tell you that they came expecting one thing and they left getting something entirely different that was more helpful to them than any place else or anything else or any information they had ever received. It's meant to inform, to elucidate, to educate, to drive people to action and to help them to understand what the real problems are in aging. So that's how you can get a hold of me. Again, always you can call me if you ever have questions at my 800 number. Even though I'm here in Sacramento, you can call me if you're in Marysville or Stockton or the East Bay or whatever on my 800 number. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. You know, I wanted to mention workshops because I go to other people's workshops every now and then and I hear all kinds of interesting things. And the other day I was listening, and if you listen to the radio or if you go to the internet, there's all kinds of financial advice. Now, this show is not really about financial advice. If you want some of that, you can come in and see me. This show is focused on senior issues. But one of the questions that I always ask people is, you know, there's the two great questions. Who's going to take care of me? And then the second one is, how am I going to pay for this? Well, when I listen to financial shows, whether they're about retirement planning or Social Security planning or stock and bond planning or insurance planning or whatever they are, or when I go to the $299 trust seminars, which, by the way, are one of the great scams on earth, folks, be really, 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 really careful, because my experience is that most of the people giving them don't have a clue what they're talking about, and they certainly don't have a clue when it comes to long-term care, nursing homes, Medi-Cal issues. By the way, when I use the term long-term care, I'm talking about long-term care insurance. I'm not talking about long-term care insurance. I don't sell it. I'm talking about what happens to us when we get older, what happens when we need some form of care, whether it's at home, in assisted living, or a nursing home. But one of the things they'll always talk about how to maximize your Social Security or how to get this or how to maximize your return. And all of that is important. Don't get me wrong. Everybody wants to get the most. Okay? But the one thing they never talk about, number one, because most of them don't understand it, they never talk about the implications of retirement planning on long-term care issues, on frailty issues, on what happens to me when I get older issues. Because the one, you know, people will say, well, when you retire, you're going to need, 80% of your salary to continue to travel and all. Well, what if you're going to wind up needing 200% of your salary paying for long-term care? It's the one thing that almost, I can't say never, but almost never. Just recently, just within the last couple hours, I was listening to an advertisement for retirement planning, for Social Security planning, for whatever. But they're talking about maximizing Social Security. But at the end of the day, they didn't talk about, they talked about it in general terms. Okay, so you can get $100 more a month from Social Security doing this. But if long-term care is going to cost me $10,000 a month, if I'm really trying to plan, wouldn't that be a more important issue than getting the extra $100 a month from my pension or from Social Security or from my CDs or whatever it is? Because remember, what you have is what's going to take care of you. What you have, it's what's going to take care of you. So in determining retirement planning, or, you know, people ask me all the time, Bob, do you do retirement planning? Yes, I do. But I do it from an entirely different point of view. I don't look at it primarily from buying peanut butter or being able to take a vacation or being able to, you know, buy a fishing boat. So in my, or a new set of golf clubs or a country club membership or whatever, so that in my retirement years, I can live out my hobbies. And 30 years, 25 years of doing this, I've been confronted with too many people whose retirement was consumed with taking care of someone. Either a spouse or their parents or whatever. And nobody talks about that as a retirement issue. And I'm telling you, it should be at the top of the list. So yes, when someone comes in to talk to me about retirement planning, I am concerned about rates of return, and I am concerned about making sure income, you know, you get the most from your income and all of that kind of stuff. But what I'm more concerned about is long-term care issues. Are you going to have the money to take care of yourself if you or your spouse? I had somebody in my office this week where the three kids are running out of money because they've been taking care of a parent who had no money, and one of the daughters sat in front of me and said, you know, we're going through money hand over fist, and none of us can really afford this. So the children, you know, who never wanted to interfere with mom's life, and the mom who never wanted to talk to the children about these issues, the children now are going through their retirement income, taking care of a parent who needs long-term care, which means their planning, which didn't include this because this was never going to happen, is going to impact their ability to retire and how they're going to retire and their ability to take care of themselves when and if they need long-term care. Everybody follow my reasoning here? I cannot tell you how many people have walked into my office, folks. It's in the thousands. I wish I could get this across to everybody. And sat there and said, you know, this is costing us a lot of money and we don't have it. We never thought this could be expensive. We never thought we were going to have to pay out $5,000 a month to take care of our mom. We never. Because it's not a part of retirement planning. And it should be the central part of retirement planning. I don't sell long-term care insurance, But I don't know how you can have a discussion about retirement planning without talking to someone who's qualified about long-term care insurance. By the way, there's all kinds of new products out there. There are all kinds of products, hybrid products. There are products with return of premium features. There are products that if you never need the long-term care insurance, it'll pay you income for the rest of your life. There's all kinds of long-term care insurance out there. But if you're not having that conversation as part of your retirement planning, then you're not doing retirement planning. If I told you that there was a 50-50 chance that your house would burn down in your lifetime, would you have fire insurance on your house? But you see, for a married couple 65 years or older, there's a 50-50 chance that one of them will go into a nursing home before they die. And notice I just said nursing home. There are about 5.5 million seniors in California. 2.5 million of them are receiving some form of long-term care. Do you think that has impacted their retirement planning? Again, this show is not primarily about retirement planning, but that conversation has to be a huge part. Not just how much your PERS pension is going to pay you, or Social Security is going to pay you, or your company pension, or how much do I have in my IRA. All of that is important stuff. But do you understand that the $100,000 you have in your IRA could be gone in 1 year if you need long-term care? That $100,000 you've got sitting in the CD could be gone in 1 year because of long-term care. Have you figured out what veterans' benefits may be available to you to help you in retirement, to help you with long-term care? Do you understand that Medicare doesn't pay for long-term care? That if you're counting on your Medicare card, well, I'm over 65, you know, I just hand them my card when I go to the doctor or the hospital. Do you understand that doesn't pay for long-term care? That doesn't pay for assisted living. That doesn't pay for independent living. That doesn't pay for home care. If you're going to have an intelligent discussion about retirement planning, it must begin with long-term care. It must begin with who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for this if I can't take care of myself or my wife or my mom or my dad or my whoever it is. If that is not the central part of the conversation, then you are dancing through the graveyard. It's just a fact of life. Remember, there's two incurable diseases, aging and death. You are going to get older. You are going to die. Hopefully, we would all like to die healthy. But the reality is that a lot of us die unhealthy. In the last 2 weeks, I have had four people in my room, in my office with terminal diseases. You don't think it happens? How many of you have lost a family member to a debilitating disease or to dementia or to Alzheimer's? Come on. Be honest. How many of you have lost somebody you loved? How many of you have lost them, watched them go through unbelievable things and loss of ability to think, and all the way along, everybody keeps saying to themselves, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? What am I going to do? What are we going to do? What am I going to do? But nobody had the conversation as part of retirement planning. And I have to say, to some degree, I'm guilty of it. You know, I'm now 70 years old, and I look back and I go, I never thought I'd be 70. What happens next? I mean, this year I'm going to be 71. I'm now officially an old person. So what do I begin to do about those things? My wife will be 70 this year. You know, we're going to celebrate our 49th wedding anniversary this year. And it's like, holy Toledo, we turn around one day and we're both old people. Our children have children. It's like, when did all of this happen and when did we have the conversation? Now, we've had the conversation. You need to ask yourself, have you had the conversation? And I know I harp on this subject a lot, but I'm going to keep harping on it until I can't harp on it anymore. Parents, you must have this conversation with your children. Children, you must have this conversation with your parents. You must. Children, you must make sure that if you're going to be willing to take care of your parents, that they have given you proper control over their assets. If they don't have control over their assets, or you're up a creek. Parents, if you expect your children to be the ones who are going to take care of you, have you given them the proper direction and authority to take care of you the way you want to be taken care of? Well, yeah, Bob, I gotta trust. I don't care. What does it say? Well, it says I don't have to go through probate. Great. You're not dead. Remember, probate only happens when you're dead. So what happens if you're not dead? So in all of your thinking about retirement planning, have you had the discussion with yourself, with your children, with your family, with your advisor? And heaven help me from advisors. You know, there's the story many of you are familiar with, Bible stories. It's Sunday. I'll tell you a Bible story. You're aware of the story of Job. If you're not, go read the story of Job. Job is tested. Job is sent plagues. Job is, you know, loses his wife, loses his children. All kinds of terrible things happen to Job. Well, Job has advisors. He's got advisors. And he goes out and he talks to his advisors, and his advisors keep telling him, well, Job, you know, if you'd only do this, if you should have done this. And at the end of the book of Job, we find out one thing. By the way, long story short, everything is restored to Job. But at the end of the book, we find out something very interesting about Job's advisors. They all had one thing in common. Take a guess. All of their advice was wrong. Simply because someone's an advisor doesn't mean the advice is correct. I had somebody come in the other day and tell me their advisor was a paralegal, and I said, no, they're not. I said, here, I can look up all the licensed paralegals, and their name's not on there. They're an insurance agent. Well, but they said they've had paralegal training. I said, that doesn't make them a paralegal. You need to ask lots of questions of your advisors. I can tell you right now that most financial advisors out there think that there's a 5-year look back for Medi-Cal. There's not. Again, I've told you the test of advice is always the same. Ask the person when they make a statement to you, where does it say that? Where does it say that? And if they can't tell you where it says that, then you may have one of Job's advisors. So as you're going through all the advice you're getting about retirement planning and retiring and all of those kinds of things that are going on right now and crummy interest rates and all that, it's all a good thing, discussion to have. But make sure you're asking your advisor about what happens if I need long-term care. What happens if at the end of my life I can't take care of myself? Have I made sure that my money will last, not just to pay the property taxes and to go on vacation to see the grandkids, but have I made provision for taking care of myself? Do my documents allow somebody to take care of myself? Is there enough money to take care of me? And does my family have the authority to use that money to take care of me? So as you examine your retirement planning, and yes, this is for those of you that are in your 40s or 50s, because whatever the expense is today of long-term care and of care facilities, when you retire, it's going to be 3 times that amount, or at least twice that amount. So make sure you're having the conversation with yourself, with your advisors, about What about all of my retirement planning in terms of long-term care? How do I manage it? Is it going to take care of me? Is it going to buy me options? And if you're not sure, then come in and see me and we'll sit down and we'll talk about retirement planning in a way you've never talked about it before. And you can do that by calling me at 800-999-8007. The consultation is free. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G.com. Send me an email, give me a phone call, set up a time to get in and begin the retirement planning process with frailty planning at its core. We'll be back in just a couple seconds here after a few commercial announcements right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Again, don't forget you can always contact me at my phone, 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, A-S-S-E-T-S-A-N-D-A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. And you can go there and you can ask me questions. There's a place to ask questions. You can sign up for my free newsletter there, email newsletter. It's email only, folks. I don't mail them out. I'm sorry. And you can sign up for a workshop. My next workshop is coming up here in just a couple weeks. Lots of information, lots of things you can learn about the issues of aging. Again, remember everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal or tax advice. We have to say all that all the time because there is an entire cadre of people who do not want you to understand the truth about care. The caregiving industry does not want you to know the truth. They make too much money off of falsehoods. So, you know, anytime you need to call, anytime you're not sure what the answer to something is, anytime you've been given information that just doesn't sound right, give me a call, contact me, and if I can't tell you the facts, then I'll get you in touch with somebody who can. I want to talk in the second half hour here about a book, and I've mentioned this book before, and I want to read you something from this book. I think it's the most important book that's been written in my lifetime on the issues of aging and dying and mortality and care. It's called Being Mortal, B-E-I-N-G, Mortal, M-O-R-T-A-L. You need to run out and buy it today. You need to order it from Amazon or however you get your books. Go buy it and read it. It is, if you look at my copy, which is sitting here in front of me, it is highlighted, marked with post-it notes. It took me a long time to read it, this particular book, because I kept going back and rereading stuff and marking it and underlining it and highlighting it because what he has to say is so incredibly important. I'm going to be coming out with a book soon that will only be available to my listeners and especially to people on my email newsletter list. And I'm still telling you that this is a must read. Another book I will tell you that you must read is a book whose I cannot remember the author's name, but the book is entitled When Breath Becomes Air. When Breath Becomes Air, also written by a doctor, but I cannot remember his name. But go get Being Mortal by Dr. Atul Gawande. You must read it. I want to read you something out of this book. Today's show is a little bit more philosophical, but I want to read you stuff. And again... I just want you to listen with your heart, and I want you to absorb what I'm reading, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. But I am reading from Dr. Atul Gawande's book called Being Mortal. These are not my words. These are his words. There's no escaping the tragedy of life, which is that we are all aging from the day we are born. You cannot escape that, folks. These are my words now. You are aging from the day you are born. You cannot stop it. You cannot stop the implications of that fact. So let me go back and read. There's no escaping the tragedy of life, which is that we are all aging from the day we are born. One may even come to understand and accept this fact. My dead and dying patients don't haunt my dreams anymore. But that's not the same as saying one knows how to cope with what cannot be mended. I am in a profession that has succeeded, he's a doctor, because of its ability to fix. If your problem is fixable, we know just what to do. But if it's not? The fact that we have had no adequate answers to this question is troubling and has caused callousness, inhumanity, and extraordinary suffering. This experiment of making mortality a medical experience is just decades old. It is young, and the evidence is it is failing. I want to read you a little bit more and listen to the book. Again, this is from Dr. Atul Gawande's book, Being Mortal. Go buy it and read it. This is a book about the modern experience of mortality, about what it's like to be creatures who age and die, how medicine has changed the experience, and how it hasn't, where our ideas about how to deal with our finitude have got the reality wrong. As I pass a decade in surgical practice and become middle-aged myself, I find that neither I nor my patients find our current state tolerable. But I have also found it unclear what the answer should be, or even whether any adequate ones are possible. I have the writer's and the scientist's faith, however, that by pulling back the veil and peering in close, a person can make sense of what is most confusing or strange or disturbing. I continue to read from the book. You don't have to spend much time with the elderly or those with terminal illness to see how often medicine fails the people it is supposed to help. The waning days of our lives are given over to treatments that addle our brains and sap our bodies for a sliver's chance of benefit. They are spent in institutions, nursing homes, and intensive care units, where regimented, anonymous routines cut us off from all the things that matter to us in life. Our reluctance to honestly examine the experience of aging, and dying, has increased the harm we inflict on people and denied them the basic comforts they most need. Lacking a coherent view of how people might live successfully all the way to their very end, we have allowed our fates to be controlled by the imperatives of medicine, technology, and strangers. I would read it to you again and again and again if I thought it would help. His point is, as a surgeon who has watched people die, who has given them chemotherapy, who has helped extend their lives, he is realizing, and then this is at the beginning of the book, then he spends the rest of the book on talking about possible solutions, but that the issue of aging, we refuse to confront. We are in the habit of having doctors fix stuff. I have a cavity, the dentist fixes it. I have a tumor, the doctor takes it out. I have bad knees, I get them replaced. I have a gallbladder go bad, I get it taken out. I have migraines, they've just discovered that green light helps my... We're in the business of fixing things. But we cannot, and he makes it perfectly clear, we cannot fix the aging and dying process. We have to have a plan to deal with those. We have to have a plan so that as much as possible, I or you or your mom or your dad get to control the aging and dying process. One of my biggest arguments with people who are focused on wills and trusts and the avoidance of probate is they're talking about what happens when everybody's dead. When we're dead, we have the solution, but we don't have the solution while you're dying. If I do nothing in whatever years I have left in my life, I am going to continue to preach the gospel of you have to begin to plan so that your aging and dying process is what you want, that you control it. Everybody wants to stay at home. So please list right now on a piece of paper, not if you're driving, the 10 specific things you have done to make sure you get to stay at home. Come on, off the top of your head. Bang, 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 bang. When I do a workshop, I give people a little thing on what it's going to cost them to take care of themselves. And at the very beginning, I ask three questions. Why do you want to stay home? Everybody says, I want to stay home. Why? Why? Tell me why. Give me three reasons why you want to stay home. Quick, tell me why. Why? What if you can't stay home? What if you can't sit up in bed? Do you still want to stay home? If you do, that's okay, but how are you going to arrange for that? Because we all assume that we're going to stay home with the ability to stay home by taking care of ourselves. What if I want to stay home, but I can't take care of myself? Then how do you do that? What's your plan? Remember, hope is not a plan. And that's what Dr. Gawande is trying to say. We have done a very, very, very poor job in this country. I think at more than most countries, but we have done a very, very poor job of determining because we have this ability to extend life almost endlessly. We've done a very poor job of defining what that means. We have done a very poor job of defining quality of life. We've done a very poor job of defining how do you want, are you going to be in control of your aging and dying process, or are a bunch of automatons in a facility somewhere or in a hospital somewhere, or any of you had an ER experience lately? How much fun is that? Just trying to get somebody to look at you could take 10 hours. You know, I've talked about it on this show before, but how many of you understand the difference between observation and admission to a hospital? You better, it could cost you tens of thousands of dollars not knowing the difference. It's really, 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 really important to begin to understand the aging and dying process and what it is you want, to define that in your life. It's one of the things that I do with my clients a lot. Now, I tend to be fairly straightforward about this stuff. I don't have much room for baloney. There's another word I'd like to use, but let's use baloney. Because the reality is that I have people sit there in my office and are there in my office to discuss this, but out of their mouth comes the words, but I'm not ready to do it yet because I think I've got time. I know that someday this is going to happen to me, but I'm not ready to do it yet because today I'm just not ready. When are you going to be ready? By the time you're ready, it's happening to you, and now circumstances has taken over your life. Do you have a plan for ending your life? Do you have a plan? Does your family understand exactly what you want if you wind up in the hospital with a terminal disease? Do you want to be trached? Do you want a ventilator? Does your family understand that? Does your family have a copy of your funeral plan? Do they know where do they know whether or not you even want a memorial service? Do they know whether you want to be? Do they have the authority to choose between cremation or a burial? Do they have the authority to pick the funeral home? Do they have the authority to pick the care home? Do they have the authority to pick the caregiver? Do they have the authority to pay the caregiver? What if one of your children wants to be the caregiver? Do they have the authority to do that? What if they're going to get paid? Is there an agreement that says they can get paid? Or are they going to be accused of elder abuse? I can keep going on. The point remains the same. Have you spent time planning, or as Dr. Gawande, gosh, I love reading this guy's stuff, folks. I've read this book twice now, and I love reading it. But the waning days of our lives are given over to treatments that addle our brains and sap our bodies for a sliver's chance of benefit. They are spent in institutions, nursing homes, and intensive care units where regimented, anonymous routines cut us off from all the things that matter to us in life. Our reluctance to honestly examine the experience of aging and dying has increased the harm we inflict on people and denied them the basic comforts they most need. Is that you, or do you have a plan, or is hope your plan? There are questions I'm going to keep asking over and over and over and over and over again. When people come to my workshops, and again, if you want to come to my next workshop, they're free. You need to sign up for it online. You can go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com. Find out when my next workshop is and sign up. But it's one of the things I spend the most time doing at workshops is getting people to examine what they're doing, not what their neighbor's doing, not what their Aunt Julie did. Well, I remember, Bob, when my Uncle Bill died back in Nebraska in '03, nothing happened. Yeah, except you don't know that nothing happened. Yeah, and not only that, it was 25 years ago when life was different and rules were different. I mean, you can't imagine. How many of you knew that if you wanted to be cremated and you said, I want to be cremated, you can't just be cremated. The funeral home has to get a permit from the county to cremate you. And that costs money. By the way, is that included in your plan, in your funeral plan? Life is much more difficult now. Life has many more rules now than it did 30 years ago. So as we begin the aging process and we watch our parents begin the aging process or our grandparents, are we willing to confront that from the moment of birth, we are all going to age? We are going to become more frail. You know, I have a four-month-old granddaughter now. I'm very proud of that fact. I love her to death. I miss that she doesn't live next door to me. I want to kidnap her from her parents and put her in the bedroom upstairs. Okay? I can't do that. But she's 4 months old. There's nothing that's going to stop in her the aging process. And someday, God willing, she will be my age or older. It's going to happen to me. It's going to happen to my children. It's going to happen to my grandchildren. It's going to happen to you, to your spouse, to your mom, to your dad, to whoever it is in your life you love. Are you in control of that process? Have you done the things that you need to do so that you're in control of that process? Or have you just said, well, it'll all work out? What do you mean it'll all? It'll all work out. With any luck, I'll just drop dead tomorrow, and it'll all be fine. So that's your plan, luck. Well, I know. I mean, I'm just hoping that. So that's your plan, hope. Well, I don't like talking about it. It makes me uncomfortable. Oh, okay. So you don't want to talk about it because it makes you uncomfortable, so you'll just pass the burden on to your children to do all this without knowing what you want. Well, no, I don't want to be a burden on my children. Well, then what have you done to not be a burden on your children? Have you included them in the plan? People are aghast when they come to my workshops, and one of the things I tell them to do is they actually need to share their lives with their children, whether their children like it or not. Because their children are the ones, or their grandchildren are the ones that are going to be doing all of this. People are aghast when they find out my children know about my documents. They know about my financial stuff. They know about where it is. They know what to do. Why would you tell? Because I can't guarantee that tomorrow they're not going to need all that information because I have a massive stroke and I'm a vegetable. That's not a good time for them to find out. One of the first things I tell people when they come to me and they tell me they have a terminal disease is, have you shared that with your family? And have you begun to include them in that process so that they can be a part of the process? And that they can help your spouse, or if there's no spouse, they're prepared to take over financially and medically if you can't? Are you willing to do those things? Have you done that? Because that's part of controlling your own destiny. That's part of controlling under what circumstances and where do you want to age. If you can't stay at home, do your children or your spouse have the authority to find the softest level of care possible and then pay for that? They don't? Do you even know what the softest level of care means? I encourage people who don't need it to go around to nursing homes. I encourage children. You know, you've got an 80-year-old mom. Your mom may not be able to stay at home. You should be out there going around. I can refer you to some people. You should be out there going around and visiting some assisted living facilities that are close to you or close to mom. So that when the day comes, you've got some idea of what you're facing and what the expenses are. Do you understand the difference between a boarding care, an independent living facility, an assisted living facility, a memory care unit, and a nursing home? Do you understand what pays and doesn't pay for those things? That's part of having in place a plan for aging so that I can be in control to whatever extent possible of the aging process rather than turning it over by default to a bunch of corporate owners of facilities or free, because I hear the ads on TV and places about we're a free consultation service. No, they're not free. They get paid by the facility, usually 2 months' rent, which then drives up the rent for everybody else. They're not free. You may not be paying anything to them, but as my granddaddy taught me a long time ago, there ain't no free lunch. So are you in charge of the process of aging, or have you turned it over to fate? Or to luck, or to hope. If you would like to begin that process, I can help. It's what I do. It starts with a phone call. Call me at 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 007. Or you can go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com. Again, assetsandaging.com. ASSETSAND.com. ASSETSANDAGING. Begin to take care of your own aging process. Begin to take control of your own aging process and dying process, so that you, what you want to have happen is what happens. You get to pick where you want to stay as much as possible. You have arranged the finances, like we talked about in the first half hour, as part of your retirement plan, to make sure you have control over where you want to be and how you want to live and where you want that process to play itself out. I would think that's what everybody wants to do. That everybody wants to be in charge of their own life and their own process. Start by making the phone call today, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com. Get in to see me. Let's do some planning together so that you can be in charge, or make sure your family can be in charge of your process of aging, your process of dying, as all of us together get older. You have a choice. You can be in charge, or circumstance can be in charge. It starts with a phone call, 800-999-8007. For Assets and Aging, I look forward to seeing you again here next week. Don't forget to go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and my podcast live every Wednesday. Have a great day. Bye-bye.